All right. Welcome to the podcast.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So we'll get started where everyone else does. As far as earliest childhood memories, what are we getting into as a kid?
I knew you were going to ask this because I listened to your podcast all day today. And it's like, so very traumatic childhood.
Okay.
So when I think earliest memory, I tried to think more like, okay, what's maybe my happiest memory? And it's like a reoccurring one because it would happen every week. My parents were divorced. So my dad would take us on Wednesday nights and we'd go to Taco Bell. And we get burritos, and then I go right next door to 7-Eleven. Do you know what 7-Eleven is?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay. Where are you?
I'm just outside of Chicago, so we had a White Hen for a while, which I thoroughly enjoyed, but 7-Eleven just took over those.
Yeah, there's just nothing like it. We don't have them in Georgia, but I grew up in Florida, so Taco Bell, 7-Eleven, get Slurpees, and then those little candies that look like peanuts, but they're like marshmallows, okay. You know what I'm talking about? And orange, they're disgusting, but that was like the highlight of my childhood for sure.
Mm-hmm. So was that just because you were happy to be spending time with them that was stress-free, or what was going on there?
Yeah, my dad would get us on Wednesday nights and then every other weekend. So okay. It's kind of like we did fun activities, you know, because he didn't have us for the school and the homework, and it was just fun.
Yeah. That's nice. When my dad had me, it was Tuesdays and Thursdays, and we'd go to the library because I had to do homework.
Oh, no, that's terrible. No, we never did homework with my dad. We never. It was just fun.
Yeah, that's nice. So when you were growing up, did you have access to like hanging out with friends after school? What was going on at that time?
Yeah, I had friends in the neighborhood. So I feel like my life is like in chunks because we moved a little bit.
Okay.
So it's like this chunk and then there's this chunk and then this chunk of, you know, my childhood. But yeah, for the most part, we always had friends and we lived in a neighborhood.
Mm-hmm. Was there a curfew as far as like when you had to be home at? I always have started asking this question because there seems to be a distinct time where you couldn't leave at all without having your phone on you, or you just had to be home when the lights, the street lights turn on.
Yeah, basically, you better be home when it's dark, not as it's getting dark,
okay.
But like light, you're in the house and then it gets dark. So just home by dark. Yeah, but we didn't have phones or anything when I was little.
Mm-hmm. So when we got home, was dinner waiting for us? What was going on there?
I really don't remember. A lot of my childhood is blocked out.
Okay.
Because I'm like, we're not going to remember that. So I remember, it's hard to remember, unless I'm talking about high school, because I remember that. So that's not really childhood.
So
sorry. I'm like, you're asking me all these questions. I don't know. I mean, I was there, kind of, but like, not really there.
So if you don't mind expanding on it, when you say things were difficult and you said not necessarily I was there but didn't want to be there, was that a coping mechanism where we were just kind of living through life at that point, or what was going on?
Yeah. So my parents divorced when I was young. I was like 3 or 4.
Okay.
Almost immediately, my mom married somebody else. So, you know, we started that family. I didn't see my dad as much. And then the man that my mom married, he had a lot of issues.
Okay.
He was an alcoholic and just a lot of like mental health issues. So that was always really hard, you know, and that kind of that person takes over the rest of the family, mm-hmm. You know, and all of your kind of walking on eggshells. You know, what do you say? What can you do today? And it always felt very tense in our house.
Mm-hmm.
Like I remember being younger and thinking, I can't wait till I get out of this house because then it's just like I'll be able to breathe.
Right.
You know, like take a breath.
Well, now I know why Taco Bell and 7-Eleven felt like such a great time.
Yeah. Yeah.
So looking back at that time, Was there, if you were to have a conversation with your young self, what would have you said to yourself at that point?
That's a hard question. I think probably you're going to be okay.
Mm-hmm.
I think that would probably be it. Because when you live in a house like that and like every day feels scary,
mm-hmm.
you don't know like when does that day come where suddenly like you don't feel like that. You know, like you wake up and you don't feel... Ugh.
Right.
Because you want to feel that feeling of freedom.
Mm-hmm. So was there any time before high school that you felt that freedom? Was it reading a book? Was it playing a sport? Was there any of that going on?
I loved reading books. I loved reading and journaling. I did dance and then gymnastics. So, yeah, that was kind of like a reprieve from all of home.
So as far as gymnastics, how long did you do that for and what did you like so much about it?
I did it for about 4 years, I guess, and then I started cheerleading. I just like being upside down. Like I've always, and I love moving. I'm very active. Like I never sit still. It's hard to even watch a movie because I want to like do something. I've always been like that. So yeah, my mom says I was born upside down. I literally was, but I've always loved flipping.
Mm-hmm. So going from gymnastics to cheerleading, was it a enjoyable experience, like hanging out with the girls and stuff like that? Or would you rather be in the gymnastics crowd?
I think cheerleading was nice because I'm not really an extrovert, so to go out and make a bunch of friends out of school, that would feel scary to me. But when you have your little group and you see them every day, yeah, I have lifelong friends from cheerleading.
Okay. That's fantastic. Did you guys travel much? Was it competitive? What type of cheer was it?
I did a little bit of competition and like high school cheerleading, football cheerleading, like the Pop Warner football type. I started that when I was like 11.
Okay.
All the way through, but we didn't travel much.
There's a pretty big cheer competition, isn't it, in Orlando or something like that?
At Disney?
Yeah, Disney.
Yeah.
Okay.
Why is it? I can't think of the name.
So let's move on to high school. Was there anything that in particular, any subjects that you liked, or what was your path looking like when you're getting into high school?
I think I wanted to be like a meteorologist.
Nice.
I don't know, something random. Oh, and then I wanted to be a plastic surgeon.
Okay.
And I realized I like can't do blood at all. So I was like, not going to do that. But no, I didn't love really any specific classes, but I made straight A's.
That's impressive. So,
yeah, I'm just really good at memorizing stuff. Like, I would memorize something and then put it on the test and then totally forget it. So I'm actually really dumb.
I think it depends how you quantify it. For me, I was terrible at spelling, so I'm dyslexic, have ADD. It's a fun time. But the night before the test, my mom, we would do it until I got it correctly. And if I got it wrong, like the word wrong, I had to do it 10 times. Then she'd quiz me again. And so I always did great on my spelling bee tests, like for the week. But when it came to like the month test of all the stuff, no chance. It's gone. Like we're out of here.
Like I can only score that for a couple of days.
Yep. So when you're at school, are you packing your own lunch? What's going on there?
My mom would give me lunch money and then I wouldn't eat and I would just pocket the money.
Okay. Was that because we're saving up for a car or what's going on here?
I don't know why I did that. I guess I've pretty much struggled with an eating disorder since I was 8 years old.
Okay.
That's when it kind of started. It was like manageable from then until I graduated high school, and it gradually just, I mean, it went really downhill.
Let's go eighth grade. What was the precipice, or what was that first time that you remember that that can be an option?
I was actually 8 years old.
Okay.
Eight. So I was probably in third grade, which is so crazy to me because I have a daughter and she's that age. And I'm like, oh. I just remember like not liking the way I felt in my skin, like in my body. And I was a really tiny kid. I was one of those little spaghetti kids that are just, you know, string beans, nothing. And I just remember feeling like I don't like how I feel in my body. And I didn't know why I felt like that. And my only thing, I guess, was think like, oh, just lose weight and then I'll not feel like this anymore. So I started, I don't know where I got this rule or this idea, but I wouldn't eat anything that had more than 6 grams of fat.
Okay.
So it was like devastating when I went to my grandma's house one time and I looked at the ice cream and it said, I think it had 8 grams of fat. And I was like, and I put it back in the fridge.
Oh, no.
I know. And yeah, I don't know why that was my rule. I don't know. But that was the rule.
Mm-hmm. So when you say manageable, when you went in for school checkups and stuff like that, was it apparent that you were severely under eating or what was going on?
No, because I think for a while it was like I was still eating. I was just very careful what I would eat.
Okay.
And I thought that would like make me feel better inside my skin. And then I think I saw a Lifetime movie and it was like a gymnastics movie and this girl was bulimic. And I was like, that's such a good idea. You can eat anything over 6 grams of fat and you can just throw it up. So at this point, I'm probably in like fourth grade. Fourth or fifth grade. So I'm like, oh, just that's easy. I'll throw it up. So I did that for a short time. And then my oldest sister caught me and she said, if I ever see you do that again, I'm going to kill you. Like, I'll kill you. So I believed her and I immediately stopped.
Thanks, older sister.
Yeah. So, and then I would go through periods where I was fine and it wasn't a problem. I didn't think about it. And then I'd just have a little, and then I'd be, you know, it was weird.
So was it something somebody would say to you? Was it a glance in the mirror? Where did that image of yourself come from?
I think it was always just the way I felt in my skin. For whatever reason, that feeling, I associated it with if I'm just, you know, was smaller or skinnier, then I won't have this feeling that I feel.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was always like a feeling, not so much. I mean, there were times when my mom would make a comment like, oh, if you keep eating like that, you know, or something like that, that would make me want to start dieting.
Right.
But I think for the most part, it was just like a feeling.
And would you say that, I mean, it's so hard to say if a child is overweight, did you feel like, looking back now, do you think you were overweight at all when your mom said that, or you were?
No.
Okay.
No, I was just, I think at that time I was eating like a lot of junk food.
Okay.
And so I think she was just noticing a pattern.
What was there people also on the cheerleading team that were doing the same thing? Was there any discussion with your friends?
No, I never told anyone. I never told anyone. And that I know of, I don't think anyone else was struggling with it.
Okay. So we're going through cheer. We're moving on with that. What else was going on in her life at that time other than cheer in school?
In high school?
Yeah.
I worked at a car wash. I worked at a tanning bed. I worked at a restaurant. All at different times, not at the same time.
So what were you doing with the extra money that you were making?
I was just saving it. Okay. Like, I didn't even realize that I would get, when I worked at the car wash, it was all cash because I was like 14. So I didn't think we could legally work. I was just like stashing in this drawer. And then one day I realized I had $300. Nice. And I was like, I should probably get a bank account. So I did. And I just loved putting money in there. I just loved saving it and putting it in there. But I also paid for like my gas and if I did stuff with friends.
Okay. That's very rewarding to be able to do that for yourself. So mm-hmm. when you're working at the car wash, are you washing the cars? Are you just helping out around the area? What's your job there?
So we would actually get inside the car while it was going through the car wash, and then we'd clean the whole inside, like the windows and stuff.
Okay.
And then like dry it, clean it, wax it, all that stuff.
What's your favorite memory from the car wash?
I worked there with one of my best friends.
Okay.
So we'd work together and it'd be fun. And then we'd go to Wendy's and then go back to work. So it was fun having a friend.
That's nice. So then what changed from going to the car wash to the other jobs? Did you just looking for something different?
I think we both just kind of quit the car wash because we were young girls working with all men and they were not very respectful. So we did eventually leave there. I don't know how long I worked there. And then I think I worked at the tanning bed next. Maybe.
All right. Yeah. So how nice was the tanning bed gig? Because I had a girlfriend that I would drop off that she would go get tanning every once in a while. And I always saw just one chick in there at all times. And she'd just be chilling at her phone. And this was maybe like 10 years ago. But like, what did you do as an attendee?
It's boring. It's so boring. Like, there's nothing to do but clean beds and then vacuum at the end of the night.
Yeah.
You have to just...
Hey, were you able to read books or anything like that?
Well, my friend works there too, so I imagine we like talked or whatever.
Okay. So making it work.
yeah.
For cheerleading, did you guys have any extra fitness you had to do, or how would you say your physical fitness was at that point?
So with competition cheer, yeah, it's pretty intense. Like it's 5 days a week, you know, not so much outside conditioning outside of what you're doing in the gym. Yeah.
Okay. So we'll look around senior year. What's going through our head? Obviously, big things are going to happen. But how are you feeling about the change to come?
I was not that excited. My mom really wanted me to go like have the college experience and go away. And I didn't really want to do that. So I ended up doing it anyways.
So what, why didn't you want to go have the college experience?
I was dating somebody younger at the time.
Okay.
And so I didn't really want to be in a long distance relationship. And my sister had just moved back with us. So I didn't, and also my mom and my stepdad were fighting a lot. So I felt like that was about to fall apart and I didn't want to be away at school and this blows up. Mm-hmm. And then I, you know, so it just felt safer to me to be closer to home.
Yeah. Okay. So you ended up going to the college experience. Where'd you end up going to?
Kind of. I did. I went to University of Alabama.
Okay.
For about maybe 2 months.
Yeah.
And then I was just like, I don't want to do this. Mm-hmm. And I came.
So what happened in those 2 months that it was no good?
Well, my first roommate was terrible.
Okay.
Like, just very opposite of me and kind of rude. I just was like, I can't live with her. And then she ended up just like moving out without ever saying anything. I just came home one day and she was gone. I was like, I have abandonment issues. You cannot just walk out like this. I never saw her again.
Wow.
So, yeah. So then I was like, what the heck? I didn't like you, but I also didn't want you to, like, leave. So that was just another thing. And there was, again, just so much going on at home.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like I just didn't want to be there.
So were you getting updates about what's going on at home, or you just, from when you left, you knew that stuff was going on?
I knew, and I was going home on the weekend too.
Okay. Did you enjoy those 2 months at all, or it was mostly just a lot of high stress?
I think it was mostly high stress.
Okay. So we come back home. What's going on from there?
So then I come back home, and my whole family is kind of in a frenzy because my mom had just admitted she was having an affair.
Okay.
So, and they were getting a divorce. So then we're selling the house, and then my stepdad is just gone, like gone. And yeah, it was like everything just turned upside down very quickly.
Mm-hmm. Is that something that at that time you thought it may be a positive, or it was just, hey, there's way too much stuff going on?
I think it was a lot of change. A lot of change. And then, you know, when you come out of high school and you don't really know who you are or really what you want, and all of a sudden it's like you have this identity and it's gone, and then all this other stuff going on. Like, I think what I needed probably was like some guidance and some stable at that time, and it was anything but that.
Okay. So what ended up going from there? You guys are moving. Is your sister with you as well? What's going on with the family?
So my sister, I think she had moved out at that time. We sold the house. My mom moved in with her new person. And my stepdad was just like off the grid. I don't even know. I never talked to him. And then where did I go? I had an apartment because I went to college close by. So I lived in an apartment, and I started dating a kickboxer. And at that time, I think I don't think I really was struggling with eating disorder, but then when I met him, he made a lot of comments about like, oh, you can't eat that and look like that, or blah, blah, blah. And then I wanted to go to the gym because he was the instructor at the kickboxing gym. So then I was there like a lot. And then I think he like showed me how to diet or put me on a diet or something. And that was kind of like the beginning of
years. So where did you find this gym? Was he at a local bar? Or did you meet him at the gym?
I think I just had a friend going to this kickboxing gym, and she told me about it. So I'm like, whatever, I'll do the friend class or whatever.
Yeah.
And then when I saw him, I was like, oh, I was interested. So I signed up.
Mm-hmm. So we start doing the diet. Is it chicken, broccoli, and rice? Or what has he got you doing?
I don't remember, but I think it was more like counting calories. Okay. So I started counting calories at the amount he told me to do, which I don't remember what it was. And then I just started thinking, like, this is so easy. I could drop this way down more. And then I did that for a while. And then I was like, I know this is like easy. I can just drop it down a little more. So I did. And then it became like this. It's almost like, I want to say addicting. Mm-hmm. Like, it's addicting to be like, you can control something like that. Like, based on what I eat, I can control my body. Like, and I can manipulate it. And then when I wanted to stop, I couldn't. Mm-hmm. I was like frozen. Like, the thought of eating more than that calorie point was just like, I can't do it.
What do you think the lowest amount of calories you were consistently eating was?
For a while, it was 400.
Oh, no.
Every day. But then if I went over like 450, then I would have to carry it into the next day. Like, I was so obsessive about it.
What does 400 calories even look like?
It was like a yogurt and a pita bread and I think like a can of tuna.
Okay.
Maybe a half a can. And then like a piece of an apple.
Mm-hmm. So how was your body performing on that little of calories?
When I was exercising too. I was tired a lot. And I mean, yeah, I felt like crap.
Mm-hmm.
But it got to a point where I was like, oh, this is like the way of life, you know?
Right. So at what moment did you decide that, hey, we should probably start moving up in calories? Did somebody say something? Were you just, what was going on?
I realized because I knew I needed to, but I couldn't.
Okay.
Like every day I'd be like, okay, tomorrow I'll just do like 800 tomorrow. But then it was always tomorrow and tomorrow. And I'm like, oh, I'm having a hard day. Like tomorrow I'm going to do it tomorrow. But then I think my sister said something and my mom tried to get me to go to a therapist and I was like, no, I'm not doing it. I'm fine. But then my dad was like, I'm coming to get you. And he literally did. Came from Key West up to Georgia and took all my stuff. And I moved down with him for a time because I think he thought like, oh, we can fix this. You know, he just needs some support.
Right.
But it was.
So I was about to celebrate like, hey, that sounds like a good move. But with the head shake, it seems like it didn't turn out that way.
No, I think I just, it was like, I didn't want to hurt people like my family. I could see them like suffering and I didn't want to live like that, but I just couldn't stop. It was like so ingrained in me.
Yeah.
And the fear of not having control, just I couldn't handle it.
Mm-hmm.
And to me that was the only thing that I could really, you know, control and like understand and predict when everything else is unpredictable.
Right. So what was going on in your life at that point when you're with your dad? Are you working or like what do your days look like?
I did get a job at a hotel for a minute and then I started working at a country club.
Wait. What happened at the hotel?
I don't remember. That job was super boring though. Like, oh my gosh, check people in.
Not for you?
So boring. Not for me. No.
So we go to the country club. Are we the cart girl? Are we giving out drinks?
I was working in the restaurant part of it.
Okay.
And you know what's so crazy to me that I remember is at this point, I was like not even 90 pounds, probably 89 pounds. And I can't tell you how many women would come in there and be like, you look so good.
Damn.
They're like, what is your secret? I'm like, and I looked like, sick.
Yeah,
I looked ill. Like, what is wrong with these people?
Mm-hmm. How tall are you, or how tall were you at that point?
5'1".
Okay, yeah, that's tiny.
Mm-hmm.
So, when you're working there, were you able to sustain a full shift? Did you have enough energy for that?
Mm-hmm. I did.
That's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
With 400 calories, couldn't tell you if I'd get off the couch.
I don't know. Like, looking back, I'm like, I was insane. Like, I don't know how I did it.
Mm-hmm.
I have no idea. I don't even know how my body lived through that, honestly.
Yeah, I happen to bring it up in a lot of these podcasts, but the Minnesota Starvation Study, they cut down the men's calories, I believe, by half of whatever their total daily expenditure was. So maybe they were getting 800 calories while doing like 3 or 4 hours of manual labor. I'm going to have to double check it because I talk about this one a lot. But They were just wasting away and like having a lot of physical and mental breakdowns and stuff. So kudos for you for being able to still do things.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I would have days where then I would eventually been.
Okay.
My body had to, like, there's no way I couldn't, but then I would end up throwing it up. So it was like even worse. Like my dad would be like, oh, like don't binge. Like at first he wanted me to, he's like, yeah, she's eating all this food. And then I would throw up and he's like, no, like he realized that's going to be worse. So then it was like, they want me to eat, but not binge. And it was, yeah, I think I only lived down there for maybe 4 months.
Okay.
Before I decided, okay, fine, I'll go to treatment.
All right. So what was the deciding factor for getting into treatment?
My therapist said, I'm not going to see you anymore. You have to go to treatment. So I was like, okay.
So what did treatment look like for you?
Not fun.
Okay.
It was like, it was like a mental hospital, but they had a special little wing just for people with eating disorders. So it was actually like a lot of young girls. But I just felt like I was like wasting my life, you know, I'm like, oh, I could be out in the world, like doing stuff and working. And I'm just like sitting here eating all day.
Mm-hmm. So,
but it was, I needed that, you know, to at least put the normal food in my body.
So was it the consistent just eating and not throwing up that they were able to help you with? Or what do you think the best benefit you got out of there was?
I think it helped me to see other people that thought like me.
Okay.
Because I'm like, I'm not crazy. Like the exact thoughts that I have in this eating disorder, they have the exact same ones. Like no matter how weird or whatever they were, like, they have the same one. So this is clearly, you know, a disorder, disease, whatever. And I felt like, okay, if they're doing it, I can do it.
Okay.
Like if they're doing it and they're having these thoughts, like, and I'm doing it, we're doing it together. It just helps when you're surrounded by people and, you know, they're struggling, but they're doing it too. It's kind of encouraging.
Mm-hmm. So you did feel like there was a light at the end of the tunnel and we're getting there and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And was this inpatient, outpatient? What type of treatment center was it?
So I did inpatient for a while and then outpatient. And then I moved to like a house that's like for people in recovery.
Yep.
But it was actually an apartment complex, but it was just kind of this little part that they had special. And that was good because I started going back to school. I started going to church and I had my like regular people there that I lived with. So they hold you accountable and started going to therapy, counseling.
So what was your mental space like at that point? Once you move into the house, like how are we talking to ourselves? What's going on?
I think that it was hard because I was dealing with trying to be okay with the food in my body, but then I also had suppressed so many like painful memories and like things from my childhood, and it just started coming up. And I think, you know, once you get away from your childhood home and once you take away all of your coping mechanisms, it's like all of this stuff that wants to be healed starts coming up.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wasn't ready to do that. So I was kind of trying to, but then backing away from it. And I, very shortly after I left that house, I got married. So I was like 20 years old.
Okay.
And just met this person. I think we knew each other for 5 months or less, maybe. And then we got married.
Now, is that the current person you're with or?
No, we were married for 5 months.
Okay.
And then we looked at each other and we were like, what were we doing? Stupid. So we got an annulment and that was that. Haven't seen him ever since then. I guess 15 years ago.
So while that, or so you get the annulment, what kind of path do you feel like you're on? Do you have this job that you're looking for? Do you have this home you're looking for, or this life that you're trying to work towards?
So once I married him, the eating disorder took back off. It was like times 10. So I was way back into that. And when I was in that mindset, it was just like survival.
Okay.
You know, I wasn't thinking about, oh, I want to get married. I want to have kids. It was just like, you know, how do I just get through today? And I was working a couple of jobs. What did I do? God, so many random jobs. I worked at Target for a minute. I worked at the UPS store. I worked at this place where there was a bunch of phones, and then you call all these car companies and ask them how much a part costs, and then you write it on this piece of paper, and then you like call a bunch of other car places and ask them. It's like weird. I don't know.
did you work for a chop shop? Was this legal? What are we doing here?
Now that I say it, it sounds like it wasn't legal, but I didn't know that. So
give me the scenario here. Are you in a warehouse? Are you in an office? Are you by
a... It was like an office in a small room. It's just like they rented out a room.
Okay. Keep going. I want to hear more about this. So when I hear about it on the news.
Yeah. Well, it was a long time ago. And there's like no windows in the room. And there's just like phones, like not cell phones, but actual handheld phones. And then there, when you would go in for the day, there'd be a list of different like auto companies. And then there would be the piece. And then it would have like details to it, like what is a piece to a car?
Okay. The brakes or whatever.
The brake pad, right? How much are your brake pads? And then they would tell us, and I'd say, oh, okay, I need to talk to my husband. And then I would hang up, and then I would call a different one and be like, hey, how much are your? And I'd be like, oh, let me talk to my husband. And then I would keep calling.
So, is there a guy like watching over you guys smoking a cigarette to make sure you're working?
Yeah. Kind of, yes. And then like at the end there'd be like a report and be like, who made the most calls?
That's incredible. Who put this ad together and how did they find you?
Now I don't know how I met this girl, maybe like church or something, and I moved in with her and she was doing this job.
Okay.
So we're always hiring. So I was like, cool. So then that's how I found out about it.
Were they paying you well, at least?
I feel like the cops are going to show them. Yeah, no, they were paying me.
I think we're past the statute of limitations. And if not, well, you know, it's a good story.
Oh, yeah. It's been like 12 years. So.
Perfect. All right. So we're definitely doing legal things. Mm-hmm. what made you leave that job?
I went to another treatment center.
Okay. So
that
was there a point where you said that you had to go? Did your roommate tell you what was going on there?
I was just really like the first time I went to treatment, I wasn't done with it. And at this point it had been, gosh, maybe 3 or 4 years of living that. So I was really tired of it. And I didn't want to live like that anymore.
Mm-hmm. So
I was like killing my family. I was upsetting them all the time and I was ruining my relationship, you know? So I just knew I had to.
Mm. Now, when you say you were ruining the relationships, is that because you just wouldn't go there and eat? They were pestering you, or what does that sentence look like to you?
Well, I think a couple of things, like with my dad, I think he was really frustrated, you know, and he wanted to fix me so badly and he couldn't.
Right.
And then my sister being upset because, you know, when you see somebody you love and they're that sick, like you feel like they're gonna die, you know, and I did. I looked like death. I looked like death. So that was always upsetting to her. So then that would upset my parents. And it just puts a strain on the relationship. Like, I think that after a while, it's almost like, you know, with an addict, they start to resent that person. Like, why can't you just change? Like, stop doing this. And it was, yeah. So.
What was there anybody in your life that was, I don't want to say positive, but someone that more so was just okay with who you were at that point?
Yes. So I went to a meeting. I don't know. I was like a eating 12 step or something. And she was there supporting somebody else. And I don't know. We just immediately connected. And we started doing Bible studies in her house, just me and her. And she was just so loving and accepting. And she treated me like I was her daughter from the beginning, and I had never been loved the way that she loved me. I was like, what is this? And I would wait for her to get angry with me, or you know, it was like I was waiting for the shoe to drop, but it never did. Even to this day, it hasn't. She's just the sweetest person.
Why do you think that she was able to have that type of demeanor, while a lot of people were not able to do that?
Because I think I had just put them through hell for years, you know, and I, this is, you know, I just met this person. And also, I think it's different when it's your family,
Right.
you know, like this person dies, like you're gonna, it's gonna like wreck you know, and you're so tied to the outcome with that person. Whereas, you know, someone who is maybe not blood, they want the best for you, but, you know,
Okay.
you're gonna agree.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. It is different with family.
So this time when we go into treatment, you said you were tired of it, you want to get past it. Was there any different techniques or other people that had a great effect on you when you were in there, or what was the process for you?
Yeah, so it's kind of a different kind of place. It was like a Christian treatment center, but not treatment like you're thinking. So it was in St. Louis. And it was a big, massive house. And there was like, I don't remember how many girls, maybe like 15 to 20 girls.
That is a massive house. You are correct.
Massive. And it wasn't like a, it was just a huge house. It was crazy. And it was beautiful. And the one thing I loved is we never talked about why we were there. We never knew why the other person was there. So it was always like they wanted us to live like a very normal life and not identify with our problem, like
Okay.
drop that and start identifying with, you know, like anything else about yourself, you know, because you're not an addict, you're not this, you're just, you're you. So I loved that and that helped me for some reason. It did, even though like people knew why I was there, but still, like, it was nice to not identify with it and not be treated like, oh, you're a patient in a treatment center. It was like, no, like we had chores, we had to clean the house, we went out on like shopping trips.
So
Was not like your typical place.
who did you identify as at that point when it was not able to be your eating disorder?
I didn't know. I didn't know who I was. I really didn't. You know, I feel like all growing up, I was a really sensitive kid and I easily picked up on what people wanted. And so I did that, you know, and I never really questioned, like, what do I like? What do I want? How do I want to do my hair? You know, I always just kind of went along with what other people wanted. And I can't, I'm not mad at those people because I never spoke up, but it just got to a point where it's like, I don't know who I am without someone telling me. And that's been, you know, a struggle. Even today, I have to watch myself because I'll easily just start doing what people want me to do and being that. And then I get down the road and I'm like, I don't like this. What am I doing here? And then I'm bail on it.
Yeah. So who did you start to become once you were either there or as you left?
I think I started to like be okay with the parts of myself that I hated. Like everyone always told me growing up, you're so sensitive, you know, and I really started embracing that more and being okay with it.
Yeah.
I loved to draw. Like at that time I was like drawing all the time, like little doodles, and just like, I love doing creative stuff like that, even though I'm not a great artist, just painting something or, you know, drawing, coloring, journaling. I love all that stuff.
Yeah. So how long were you at this treatment house for?
I was there for 7 months. It was a long term.
Okay. So what does that look like as far as, do you have like a monthly checkup or evaluation, or how does that look?
We had therapy like twice a week.
Okay.
And they get assignments like you got to read all these books and listen to these tapes and like do all these exercises. And it was kind of really good for teaching life skills that I don't feel like I had.
Yeah. As far as exercises go, was this the first time that you were exercising outside of the kickboxing gym, or what was that situation?
Well, prior to going there, I was just like obsessively in the gym. And then going there, they wouldn't let me exercise. They wouldn't even let me walk up the stairs. Like I could only go up the stairs when I was going to bed. I was not allowed to burn calories. Like I had to sit on the couch because I lied about my weight to get in there, because they don't take people that are like super sick, because you got to, you know, kind of be on your feet and ready to like get better. And then when I got there, they were like, you're a liability.
Okay.
So like, you got to step it up or you can't stay. So I like tried not to burn any calories. Just don't move a lot. Sit on the couch, listen to the tapes, read the books, do the assignments.
And so when they started giving you exercises, did you feel that they were to burn calories, or did you enjoy whatever they were giving you?
Once I was finally able to like move more, it was more like, it wasn't really like exercise. It was more like moving your body.
Okay.
You know, like a little walk or something like that. It was more just moving your body.
Mm-hmm. And what was your mental space as you're progressing through these 7 months?
It was hard in the beginning, but then you get used to it, you know, living somewhere for 7 months with these people, and the routine is very routine. So I started feeling really good about it. I was eating normal. Sometimes I would have a struggle, but we would work through it. So I felt like this is the end of it.
Mm-hmm. So when you say eating normal, is that a caloric number? Is that to satiety? Till you were full, like what did normal look like for you?
That was the great thing about being there, is I stopped counting because I wasn't able to look at labels. They take all the labels. You don't know what's there. So it really broke that habit, which is what I had so much trouble breaking. So breaking that habit and just eating, you know, in the beginning they told me you got to eat all this. And so I had to like stuff myself. But once I got to a healthier place, a healthier weight, then, you know.
So
they had like, it's almost like macros, but not really. It'd be like, here's a dairy, eat a protein, eat two carbs at each meal.
Gotcha. So when you went in there, do you remember what your weight was?
It was like 86.
Okay. And then when you left, were you allowed to weigh yourself when you left, or?
I wasn't allowed to, no, but I don't know. It's probably like 105.
Okay. That's great. So
maybe, yeah, something like that.
So what was, your favorite part about being there for that 7 months?
I think the friendship part of it, and also I think I had a very weird relationship with God at that time. Like, I had gone to a church, and it was really, I had a bad experience, and I just kind of felt like God hated me. And so going to this place, it was a Christian place, and the biggest thing there is, like, God loves you. And that's the biggest thing. Like, it's not about all these rules, and you can't do this, you got to do this, and or else, blah. It's just, like, God loves you. And that's it. Like, it's so simple. And to me, like, having that repeated over and over and over, and feeling that love from the staff there, it's just, it was, like, real to me.
So when you say bad experience, once again, if you don't mind sharing, so my wife has gone to a bunch of different churches, and I remember going with her to one, and for 15 minutes, they talked financials, and I was like, this doesn't seem like the right place to go. It was a massive church, but yeah, just didn't seem right for me. So when you said you had a bad experience, what was it that turned you off?
This lady was, like, so passionate about her church, and she's like, I want you to go with me, come to the church. I'm like, okay. So I go with her, and the pastor says, and at this time I'm, like, in the middle of my eating disorder, so I know, like, oh, I am a sinner, you know, clearly. And so the pastor says, God loves who he loves, and he hates who he hates. And if you're sinning right now, like, you're living a life of sin, then God hates you. That's how you know that you're one that God hates. And I left, and I just cried all the way home. And she was just, like staring at me like, oh, I guess you're the one God hates. And I was just devastated, and that just stuck with me. I thought, like, I know.
Did he at least say, hey, here in the book is where he says that? That doesn't sound like something that's in the Bible.
He did have a book. I don't know what book it was. I mean, I think he said it was the Bible.
That sounds a little off-brand for the man upstairs. That doesn't seem to be.
It was I don't remember the name. It was like Calvin something something church.
Okay. So we've moved on from there. Did we end up finding a better church or something that was more along with your beliefs?
Oh, I only went there one time.
Okay.
And at this time, I don't remember where I was going to church. Probably somewhere. Not there. But for whatever reason, it was so easy for me to believe God hates you. Like, I could hear all this other stuff.
Right.
And it's like, okay, Noah's Ark, da, 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 God hates you. Yep, he does. I took that one right in, and it just stuck with me.
Yeah. There's a lot of stuff that can be hard to hear, but I feel like that's pretty high up there.
Mm-hmm.
So after the 7 months, what are we doing with our life at that point?
So at that point, I moved back to Florida.
Okay.
My family is there. So I was born in Florida, moved to Georgia in high school, and then was pretty much there until I went back to Florida this time. And I just moved in with my sister and her, they're married now, but I think it was just her boyfriend at the time.
Okay.
And worked with them for only like 6 months. And then I went back to St. Louis to work and finish school.
Okay. So what was the school situation for us? Were we just focused on school, graduating, or how was our experience?
Yeah, so I think I had most of my credits to finish college, but this particular school I wanted to go to was about outreach.
Okay.
So they do a lot of, it's like in the middle of the most dangerous part of St. Louis, and you live there. And then every day, I think Monday was our only day off, but every day, you know, like going, cutting people's grass, giving people food, we'd go out and like give people flowers on the street, help old people. Mm-hmm. And that's why I wanted to go, because I could do that, but get my credits for school, because I just didn't want to sit in a classroom anymore.
Gotcha.
So I ended up, so my degree is in, it's something like ministries with applied Christianity.
Okay.
Like a bachelor's in ministry.
So how did the community accept your outreach? Was that something people were happy about? What was going on there?
Yeah, they do. So the center we worked at, it was right in the middle of a neighborhood. And so everybody knew, like, that was the place to go if you needed something. I think, you know, it's a really positive thing there.
Mm-hmm. When you said the most dangerous place in St. Louis, were you ever in danger? Was there any issues around you, or what was going on?
We pretty much stayed on the campus, like where we were. We didn't really leave too much because, like, it really wasn't safe. But yeah, like we'd hear gunshots at night. It was scary.
Mm-hmm. So we get our degree, we graduate. Are we moving back to Florida, or where are we going?
I moved back to Florida for not very long.
Okay.
Maybe 2 weeks.
Yeah.
I knew a guy from high school, and we kind of reconnected. He was in Georgia, and he was like, I think we were kind of dating. I don't know. Oh, we were dating at that time. Yes, we were dating at that time. When I was in St. Louis and he was here, we were like long distance.
Okay.
But then I moved to Florida, and he's like, you should move back, move up here. So I did. I moved back to Georgia, and I guess my plan was really just to be with him.
Mm-hmm. Are we looking to work at a church, or what's?
No, I was like done with church world. I didn't want to do that. I went to work for, like, when I first moved here, I went to work at a daycare.
Okay. What was it? Montessori type school? Was it
like a Christian preschool?
Okay. And what was the daily requirements for you?
Torture by 2 year olds. Literally, can you imagine like 9 to 11 2 year olds?
I have 1 8-month old, so we're getting there just a smidge.
Oh yeah, that's a good age. 2 years old. Stuff. And then we have like 9 to, it was not ideal, but I knew it was just kind of like I wanted something as I moved up there, and I had a resume and I was looking for jobs. And then we got engaged, and then we got unengaged.
How does one get unengaged?
We engaged and then we unengaged. We had a falling out, and I took all my stuff in garbage bags and I left.
Yeah.
And then,
was that something where there was save the date sent, and then you have to send unsave the dates?
No, okay. No, we didn't have like a date or anything like that. It was just like he asked me in the Taco Mac parking lot if I would marry him, and I said yeah.
hold on. Now we got to hear more about this. So we're setting the scene. It's romantic. Uh-huh. The stars are out. We're getting tacos. We're in the parking lot. And what happens?
Yeah, he's like, do you want to like marry me? And then I said, yeah.
I feel like that'd be like a flashback in some movie. That like the marriage proposal when they're talking about it.
Yep. Yeah. So, and then I think it was like 2 months later, I was like, we just had a falling out, and it's hard for me once I get mad at someone when it's a big thing, I'm just over it. So yeah, I packed all my stuff, but I didn't really know what I wanted to do. So I moved in with Marsha, my friend. And then it was like the series of events. I ended up getting a job. I went in for an interview just
because of the series of events.
Well, I did. Well, I had moved out. I moved out. I wasn't with him. I was living with my friend. And then she's older, so her son is my age. And he was like, hey, I'm going to a job fair. You should come. I was like, okay. So I went, gave my resume, and then I went to the interview as a joke. 10 years later, I still have that job.
That's fantastic. Also, side note, I've never known anyone named Marsha that was not dependable. So you picked a good one on that.
That is so true.
So what is the job that you happened to just joke about, but you ended up taking?
It was an insurance broker.
Okay.
And I knew nothing about insurance. I think they just hired me because me and the girl that interviewed me, we hit it off and we were joking and laughing. And yeah,
so
they hired me for that.
Is this where you call up different insurance companies and you ask them what their prices are?
No, it's more of like an administrative role.
Okay.
Like, I don't know, people answering phones and stuff like that, you know.
So we have more of a solid standing at this point. What are we looking for ourselves at this point?
Well, then, I got the job and I had insurance. And then very shortly after I had left, I found out I'm pregnant.
Okay. And was this from the past Taco Man?
Ungaged.
Okay.
Ungaged Taco. Yes. So then I'm like, we're like not really talking, like a little bit talking, but not really. So then I call him, like, I took 4 pregnancy tests and they're all positive. And he was like, so you're pregnant. I'm like, I don't know. But I took 4 tests and they're all positive. I don't know what that means. I was freaking out. So then we're like, okay, we got an apartment and got engaged again, like 9 months or I don't know, shortly after that. We got married before my daughter was born.
Okay. So how was our mental health at this point?
I think it was good at first. I was like in shock about being pregnant and I'm like, I don't know what to think about this. But I also, doctors told me I would never have kids because I didn't have a period for so many years.
Yeah.
And when I did, I don't know, I guess they thought I had wrecked my body beyond repair. And so I was kind of like, wow, well, I did get pregnant. And then I just got excited, like, you know, how it is when you're having a baby.
Yeah.
And it's growing. And I was reading all the books. Yeah, I was happy.
That's fantastic. So is this the gentleman you're still living with now or what's the...
So we were married for 4 years.
Okay.
And we had another baby, but we divorced 5 years ago.
Okay. So at that point, what's going on with your life?
So that was kind of like the breakdown for me. It was like, if you have a nervous breakdown, that was one. I had that because I'm sitting here, like, I find out my husband's been having affairs, multiple affairs. And I just knew I couldn't stay. Like, I know some people can work through it and this and that. I just knew I didn't want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So my daughter was like 3. My son was 1. And I was making, I think, $45,000. And I'm like, I have no idea how I'm going to do this. But yeah, I filed. And then that was the beginning of, like, me.
Okay.
My life started.
That sounds like a good time to make that start.
Yeah.
What does my life starting look like to you?
Well, so I think of it like this, like when you have so much, like I had a lot of trauma in my childhood and I just buried it. down, gone forever. But then I feel like the divorce was like a storm that just ripped everything up. It just, so then everything was just there. And I was like, okay, I'm going, I'm dealing with all of this. I went to therapy and just been working through all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I started really like getting into working out.
Mm-hmm.
Like at first it started in an unhealthy way. Like, I can't believe you cheated on me. I'm so ugly. So then I'm like, I'm going to fix my body. But then it was just like, it's therapy to me now. Like going to the gym to me is like my safe space. I love it.
Mm-hmm. Just, so
and then like,
as far as working on things in therapy, I know a lot of therapists have different directions depending on which schools they went to. What did working on things look like in that situation?
So the first therapist that I saw after my divorce, she was like amazing. She was very intuitive. So she just like knew things. It was so weird, but amazing. And she just had kind of like a, I don't want to say a program, but a little bit. And she would work through like, okay, family stuff, or, you know, mental, okay, the eating and divorce and working through a lot of different things, you know, in pieces. And I always thought like, okay, I'm going to see her and I'm going to be done, right? I'm going to be like good to go. But it's been like such a journey and like baby steps and just healing. So slowly, sometimes I don't think I am at all. But then I look back and I'm like, I can't believe that's where I was.
Right.
It's come so far, but it's just taken so long.
Mm-hmm. So as that's going on, you said you started your fitness journey. Was it looking through a magazine? Was it a TV show? Or how did you pick where you were going to start that fitness journey?
It wasn't really about, like, I didn't know what I was doing. I had no idea. But I went to, our neighborhood had a little gym, and nobody was ever there, so I liked that. So I was, like, very nervous about doing stuff in front of people because I didn't know what the hell I was doing.
Yeah.
I didn't want to be good. It took me years to go to an actual gym because I was so nervous. And then I would have to, like, go to the places where I was, like, not in front of people because I didn't know how to use the machine. So I'd have to, like, read the machine, or I'd, like, Google, like, the machine and, like, look at the pictures of people doing it or a video on YouTube.
I'm pretty sure the only people that look at others in the gym is me, because I'm like, hey, like, can I help? As a coach, I'm always like, oh, can I help with form, or, like, do they need help? Because that was me growing up. I would sit in the seat or whatever it was, and then I'd look at it. Like, am I doing this right? Like, hopefully yeah. We're getting this. But then, like, I look around all the time just because I get bored. I'm like, no one's looking at me. It's like, what? And I'm like,
yeah, like, so right. Yeah.
So was there a specific type of goal that we had? Did we want to just, like, increase, like, our strength? Are we looking just to do a bunch of different stuff? What's going on there?
I think I was just like, I want to have a big butt. That was how it started. That was the beginning. And then I started running. And then I really loved running for a time. And then all of a sudden I was like, I don't like this anymore. And then I switched. And then I kind of go through phases with stuff.
Yeah. So when you're working out, do you feel that it's a punishment or more of a expression of health? Like, where do you lean?
Oh, yeah. So it used to be so much like I had to exercise to burn the calories, or
right.
I had to exercise to like change this part of me, my body, or I had to exercise to like feel good enough. And now it's just, I enjoy it so much. If I don't exercise, I'm upset because I missed it.
Yeah.
You know, it's not because, oh, you're an idiot or you're like a fat. It's just, I enjoy it and I miss it if I don't.
Right. As far as eating and stuff goes, where did that evolve? Did you start eating more because you're exercising more? Or what was that evolution?
So when I got pregnant with my daughter, it was like something in my brain just switched. And it was like the eating disorder was gone. I ate whatever I wanted, whenever I wanted, no problems. Was pretty much that way in my marriage. And And then as soon as the divorce came, it was just like downhill immediately.
Okay.
Just because I was so like emotional that I didn't want to eat. But then I just kind of struggled like trying to diet and trying to, I don't know. I think it was still a control thing,
right.
Especially in that chaos. I mean, it was such a control thing. But then I did the carnivore diet for 60 days. Have you heard? I'm sure you've heard of it now.
Yeah. Oh, I did that. I made fun of it, I think, like 2 years ago. Then I'm like, well, I kind of sound like a dick. I'm going to give it a shot. And then it was fantastic. Loved it. What was that?
How long did you do it for?
I did it for 30 days straight. And then I did it for another 6 months while my wife was pregnant, so I wouldn't eat all of her pregnancy food.
Oh, wow. Like you did like strict carnivore for 6 months?
Yeah, it was. I started adding rice and fruit back in just because I work out 2 or 3 times a day, and I was pretty tired after, I think, like 2 or 3 months. But it was very enjoyable.
That's funny. How did you feel? Like you felt good?
Yeah. When so you did it? I have a decent amount of food allergies. I'm allergic to wheat, soy, and corn. So whenever I would eat those things, one, I would get irritable. My wife would know. and then I just didn't feel as good. I would feel maybe a little bit tired, a little bit sluggish, and brain fog. So for me, it was a great elimination diet to just. And keep consistent for me. And I'm much better when I have strict rules as opposed to, let's just dabble. So that was nice to be on that end of things for a bit.
Yeah. I was having like a lot of digestive problems and anxiety. And I noticed when I did it after 5 days, it was like my anxiety was cut by like 70%. It was insane. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, I don't want to stop.
Yeah.
So I continued. But then it gets to a point where like I feel like it kind of is hard socially.
Mm-hmm.
But like when you go to like drinks or go out to eat, it can be kind of, I don't know, it can be a little bit isolating and everyone thinks like, why the hell are you just eating? It's so weird.
I was on vacation and last year, so I was doing carnivore leading up to this vacation. I don't think anyone listened to this podcast, but half of them are vegans. Nothing against most vegans. So like they did a lot of the cooking and I for like 9 straight days just had like ground beef because no one was cooking with me. But like I would have garnishes sometimes. So it was like a soup or a sauce. And I'd be like, oh, you're eating that? I'm like, yeah, like it's okay. I'm like, I'll make it. Like, and I would say, I'm more on the side of, now my dog's trying to pull out all my electronics. I'm now more on the side of like, hey, let's see how much meat I can have and then see how my body responds to other stuff. But yeah, that the vacation last year, I was like, oh, I'm on vacation. I don't want to be weird about it. Cause during COVID it was super easy to do carnivore cause we weren't seeing people.
Yeah.
But yeah, we started eating Captain Crunch Oreos last year and like, it was body felt terrible.
Yeah.
So what got you started on the carnivore diet, for that amount of time?
I'm trying to remember. I must have seen it on YouTube.
Okay.
And this is back, I want to say 2018 is when I did it.
Nice.
And I feel like at that time, at least, I don't think everyone knew as much about it time. Yeah, because if you said carnivore diet, nobody knew what I was talking about.
What about it was like, hey, I should give this a try?
Well, because I had read about people with anxiety and digestive issues and all of their stuff clearing up, all of a sudden, like, magically on the carnivore diet. And I thought, like, it's a good way to just like know that you're eating healthy and you're eating enough.
Right.
Like that's easy. You know? So yeah, but after 5 days I was like, ugh, I'm sold.
Right.
I love this.
So what did your usual day look like of eating?
So I feel like I had to have done it wrong because all I was eating was ground beef. And I cannot eat ground beef now. Like, I can't even smell it. It makes me gag. Just thinking about it right now makes my stomach a little bit. Like, I can't do it. I'm like, I ruined an entire food.
Yeah. So that's what your daily usually was, some eggs, then ground beef. And
yeah. And back in that, I don't know if people still do it, where they just do beef, water, and salt.
Okay. Yep.
Strict. And then I started adding stuff in. Just because I wanted to see what my body was going to do, like if I was going to still have digestive issues and all of that. But my body like loved eating the fat. Isn't it weird? Like you get to a point where you're like, oh my God, you're craving it.
Yeah. No, when I used to eat steaks or things of that nature, I'd cut the fat off. And now I'm just like, I'll take my wife's. If you don't want that, I'll have that.
Yeah, it's so crazy. And I started eating the meat like more raw. I used to get a steak and it would be well done. And then the longer I was on carnivore, I noticed I was eating it way pinker.
Yeah. So obviously, digestively, we're feeling a lot better. Clarity, anxiety is down. What do you attribute that to?
I think like just getting rid of all the processed food, mm-hmm. you know? Because I was just eating meat,
yeah.
like not packaged. It was all like nothing processed.
Do you, how did your body feel as far as like your joints and things of that nature?
I felt really good. The first week was hard because I think I was like withdrawing from the usual like sugar and waffles and crackers. That's, yep. you know, like that. And as that, I guess it's like coming out of your body. I was really tired. And I just remember on day 6, it was like a massive cloud was just lifted. And it was just like, huh. It was, I just felt happy and I felt like calm. And I hadn't felt like that in a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was just getting all the junk out of my body.
Yeah. So then you did it for 60 days. What happens past that?
So I did the Savage Race, I think on like day 60
okay.
or 61, like that. And at that point, I had never run more than 3.5 miles in my entire life.
Yeah.
And I thought like, that's fine. I didn't train for it at all. Like I think most people don't. But when I got there, I found out it was 7.5 miles.
Yeah.
And like, and I was with a girl who runs like marathons. So I ran the entire thing. I did all the obstacles. I was like, my body was so hurting afterwards. But I felt like I needed carbs.
Yeah.
Like, you know that feeling? Like, I felt sick and I felt like I had done so much. I just felt like I needed carbs.
Yeah.
So I think I ate. I don't remember what I ate, but it was like the next day I was in the ER with a gallstone, which I don't know what that was even about. Random, but, and then I couldn't eat anything but like broth for a day or two.
Whoops.
And then like, maybe I'll just kind of like slowly add in vegetables and fruit.
Yeah.
So that's what I did.
So,
but ever since, like, I don't ever crave like sugar, anything like that. Like I'll walk past, I make my kids cinnamon rolls, muffins, we go get donuts. And I'm like, I have no desire for it.
Yeah. And how is your kids' response to that style of eating? To your style?
Oh, they don't notice. They don't notice. Like, yeah.
That's good.
I mean, I don't really eat like, I don't eat carnivore anymore. I just started because the guy I'm dating was like, I want to try it. And I'm like, okay, I'll do it.
Yeah. So
but not forever.
So you do the Savage Race. Does your fitness and like workouts change and stuff like that? Or what's going on after that?
So at that time, I think I had joined like, it was like a female workout group outside.
Cool.
And it was in the So yeah, I just meet them at the park.
What was the name of it? F3?
Yeah, yeah, the one for girls. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, I started working out with them maybe when Jessica was like 3 or 4 months pregnant, and it's a very, very fun group.
Yeah, it is. It was nice for community and all of that. I made some good friends, but then I was like, I want something harder. Like, I want to go to a gym.
Yeah.
And that's when I was like, I'm going to do it. And I would talk myself up and then walk in the gym.
That's awesome. So where are we at nowadays?
Now I feel like I'm way more balanced with exercise. Like, I will overdo it sometimes, but just because I'm like so passionate, I can't. I literally love working out. Like, I have to, it's a good thing I have a job because it makes me leave the gym. I love it. It's like such a release for me. And, but I'm more balanced about it, mm-hmm. definitely, because I want to be healthy about it,
yeah.
and be able to keep doing it. And if I just, you know, run my body into the ground, I can't do that.
Mm-hmm. And where's our mental space at the moment?
I feel like right now it's good. I think that I can be hard on myself and be like, oh, I should be doing this or I should be doing that. But again, I just think about where I come from, and it has been a journey, and I keep making progress. It's just like in pieces.
Yeah. No, that's fantastic. And I think you know where these last two questions, or what the last two questions are going to be. But if people are going to follow you, what would they follow you on, and how would they follow you?
So I have social media, but I never get on it anymore. Like, I noticed that it kind of gives me anxiety, because I can get like, oh, should I be doing that? Oh, I don't do my hair like that, you know? And I just, when I put it down, I don't miss it.
Yeah.
But I am out there. My Instagram is TheLaurenWright.
Okay. Wonderful. So let's finish up with those last two questions. As far as health goes, what's your definition of health? Not necessarily the dictionary definition, but what is health to you?
I think it's when your body is happy. And I think that looks different for everybody. I think, you know, you can say, and this is what I teach my kids, there's no bad food, right? There's no bad food or good food. If you're allergic to bananas, are they bad for you? Yeah. You know, like in certain situations, but it's just, I think, balance, really.
Yeah. I love that. And then what's something from your life that people could take away as a positive from your life?
I think just resilience, like keep trying.
Mm-hmm.
And it, you know, it's worth it. The work that you put in to yourself, you know, counseling, therapy, exercise, like doing the hard thing.
Yeah.
It pays off.
Awesome. I love that. Thanks so much for coming on the podcast.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Absolutely.